Well, in the time we have left tonight, I'm going to ask you to turn your Bibles to Exodus 20. Once again, we're getting very familiar with this passage because we've been in it just about every Sunday night since the beginning of this year as we are going through the Ten Commandments. Oh, how love I thy law. And that really should be the heart's response to God and His Word and to His law. And we come tonight to the fifth commandment, which is there in verse 12 of Exodus chapter 20. Which very simply says this: honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. James describes this as the first commandment with a promise attached to it. Obviously, it's not the first commandment of the ten, but it's the first where we find a promise attached. That if you honor thy father and thy mother, your days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And we'll explore that a little bit more deeply over the course of the next few weeks. But there are many who believe that the fifth commandment would have begun the second tablet of stone upon which the Ten Commandments were originally inscribed by the Lord. And of course, remember, Moses brought those down from Mount Sinai. And many believe that the first side was the duties toward God, and then the second side, the other tablet, would have been the duties toward man. So there's a lot who believe that this fifth commandment would have started that second stone tablet. It would begin the commandments that describe a person's relationship with other people. However, there are others who see a close connection between this commandment and the first four, because we see that there's a honor that belongs to the Lord in those first three commandments. And so they believe that this description of our relationship with a father kind of ties in with our relationship with God as a father. But either way, this commandment, like the others, is still profitable to us. Not just back then to the Jewish nation, but even to us today. It's profitable for doctrine. Of course, 2 Timothy 3:16 is the lens through which we've been looking at the Ten Commandments. And it says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And that applies to this commandment too. It's profitable to us for doctrine. It tells us something about God. And this is what it tells us. It reveals God as a father. And of course, we've been thinking about our fathers today. We've been celebrating about our fathers. We've been giving testimonies about our fathers. We've been singing hymns about God as Father. And that's one of the things that we see from this commandment, is that God is a father. In fact, God is the original father, isn't he? He's the original father. And so he has a special place in his heart for this kind of relationship that exists within the pinnacle of his creation, which of course are human beings. He loves fathers and he loves mothers because he himself has a heart of a father, for he is that original father. Because before there was any other institution in this world, God designed the institution of the family. And I think, unfortunately, even in our day, there are people and governments that kind of have it all turned around. They think that the institution of government is the be-all, end-all, or the institution of politics, or even the institution of schools. But the truth is, the number one institution that God created was that of family. In fact, keep your finger here in Exodus 20 and go back with me to the sixth day of creation, there in Genesis chapter 1. And I'd like to read just a few verses there, Genesis 1, 26 through 28, where, again, on that sixth day of creation, God said, "Let us make man in our image." And of course, man is not just specifically defining the male of the species, but also the female, man in general, man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And so what did God do? Well, according to his word, he created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, "Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." So there we have, in those just few verses, God's institution of the family. You see, when God commanded Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply and to replenish the earth, that was God's establishment of the family. And so the husband would be the father and the wife would be the mother to all of the children that God would bless them with. And so, to the parents, God bestowed not only a special responsibility over their children, I think we heard some of how our fathers exercised that responsibility, right? Some shared godly advice. Some shared practical advice. Some just enjoyed their children, and they wanted that to have be part of our experience, and so does God. But not only did God give them that special responsibility, but God also gave them a special honor from their children. And that is what we find back in Exodus 20. You see, what children owe to their parents is honor, simply for the reason that they are their parents. There's no qualification there. There's no addition there. It just says simply, again, in Exodus 20, honor thy father and mother. It doesn't say honor your godly parents. It doesn't say honor your funny parents. It doesn't say honor your rich parents. It just says simply honor your father and your mother. That's what we owe them because they're our parents. And much of what they did in order to rear us and to raise us into the people that we become, we owe to them. But on another side, because of this relationship that God has with His creation, we recognize that everyone owes to the Lord the same honor, don't we? The same honor as Father, simply because He is God, and simply because He is the Father of us all. So tonight, as we remember and honor our earthly fathers on Father's Day, let us also remember and honor our Heavenly Father. And so the first thing that we come to, and we're going to be looking at a number of passages tonight, so you don't need to turn to all of them, but just kind of keep them in mind. And just remember that all God is and all God does as Father means that He deserves, He's worthy of our honor. First thing we see is God's reputation as a Father. God's reputation as a Father, or rather, the Father, the original Father. To be a Father, someone needs to have a child. You know, I still remember the day I became a father and held my little daughter for the first time. And what a special day that was. But I wasn't a father up until that point. And the fact is, that's true for God too. In order for God to be a father, He must have a child. In this case, He has a son, doesn't He? And we know His son to be the Lord Jesus Christ. And we learn that God is an everlasting Father. That means that the personal and powerful God has always had a son. That's one of the things that we see in this relationship of a family, is that there's always been a father relationship in the Godhead. There's always been a God the Father. There's always been a God the Son. God never became a father like I became a father. Instead, God is and always has been a father, because that's part of His immutable and unchanging nature. He didn't become a father when Jesus was born into this world. He always had Jesus as His beloved eternal Son. You see, according to 1 John 1, 1 through 3, Jesus Christ is and always has been the Son of God, the Father. John writes it this way: that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, and which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. And of course, John is describing his relationship with Jesus when he was here on earth. And he adds, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. And he adds, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. What a relationship that is between God the Father and God the Son. What a relationship that has always been. Can you imagine what it must have been like in eternity past when there was just God, the triune God? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, a relationship of love, a relationship that of communication, a relationship of harmony, a relationship of unity. It's still a great mystery to us, but God is still an everlasting Father. And so He knows what it means and what it takes to be the kind of father that we ought to be. But he is also an extensive father. An extensive father because he is the maker of all things, the Bible teaches. He said, it's taught that in a certain sense, he is the father of everything and of everyone. Of course, obviously, he's a father in a special relationship with those who trust in Christ. But the prophet Malachi implies this when he asks this in Malachi 2:10. It's on your message guide. Have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us? So, in a sense, everyone in this world has God as their Father, and how should they respond to Him? According to the fifth commandment, honor thy father. Honor thy father. But what has mankind done with this father, this original father? Well, we all know what happened. Mankind, as a whole, renounced this relationship and actually sought out a father of a different character, didn't they? In fact, the devil was all too ready to adopt those who orphaned themselves from God. And now, according to John 8:44, those who do not have Christ as their Savior, this is true of them. They are of their father, the devil, and the lusts of their father they will do. And you know, God could very easily have just left mankind to the father that they chose. Could have very easily said, I don't want them back. But instead, we find this eternal father also an empathetic father. You see, it's God as Father who sought us out in order to adopt us back into His family. And why would He even do that? Why would He even do that? Well, because He is what all fathers should be. 1 John 3:1, He is a loving Father. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Isn't it a wonderful thing to know that God as Father is loving? Supremely so. You know, sometimes fathers don't say, I love you, as much as we'd like to hear it. But there is a God who not only has said that He loves us, for God so loved the world, but He showed that love by sending His only Son to die on the cross for us. That's the kind of Father that God is. He's also a compassionate Father. Psalm 68:5 says that He is even a Father of the fatherless. And a judge of the widows is God in His holy habitation. So God is the Father that seeks those who are not rich but poor. Those who are not strong but weak. Those who do not have family but those who are familyless. He is a compassionate Father, and even more, He's a caring Father. Matthew 7:11 says, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him. What a father. In fact, this is the kind of father that all other fathers ought to look to learn what it means to be a father. Loving, compassionate, caring, empathetic. But do you know God as this kind of father in your life? Sometimes we forget to think about His qualities, to think about His attributes, to think about His nature in this way. And of course, we know that God only becomes our Heavenly Father when we believe in and receive His only begotten Son as our Savior. And so that's God's reputation as a Father. But then you can also discover God's relationship as a Father. God's relationship. It was God who sought us out to become His child, to rescue us from the clutches of that wicked father, the devil himself. It was God who actually chose you, if you know Christ as your Savior, He chose you to be His child. In 1 Peter 1:2, it says that those who are elect, that means chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Isn't that a wonderful truth to know? I remember hearing some of my cousin's stories about being adopted into our Elmer family. And for a time, it wasn't something that they really appreciated. And I remember the story of my grandmother who was talking to one of my cousins, and she was kind of sullen when she was, I think, either a preteen or a teenager, that she had been adopted. She had found that out. She kind of was thinking, well, what about my family? Did they not want me? Did they not like me? What happened? And I remember my grandmother said, you know, instead of thinking about your other father. You need to think about the father and the mother that you have now. Think about the fact that out of all of the children that they could have adopted and brought into their own family, they chose you. And that changed her thought. That changed her mind. That changed her heart as well. And you know, that's what we need to remember, is that God is the one who chose us and adopted us and brought us into his family. That's the kind of father he is. So he could then bestow all the blessings as a heavenly father upon us. Not only that, it was God who then called us to be his children. 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, "Wherefore, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and will be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty." Isn't it a wonderful thing that God not only chose you, but God also called you out? Now, the timing of my call was probably different than the timing of your call. The timing of our call takes place in our lifetime. Some people come to the Lord when they're older, like your father. Some people come to the Lord when they're younger, and they receive that call. But all that God chooses, he will call. And all that will call that he calls will come to him. And all that will come to him, he will receive as a father. And he says, "You will be my sons and daughters." You know, I have met many that cannot give a testimony, a positive testimony of their relationship between their father and their father and their mother. But that's why we have that wonderful, precious promise in the Bible that says that even when our mothers or fathers forsake us, who is it that will pick us up? It's the Lord. Why? Because he is the father of the fatherless. He is that kind of a father. It was God who chose us and called us. And then it is a God, he is the God who comforts us as his children. In 2 Thessalonians 2:16, Paul writes these words, "Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, may he comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work." Every single one of those phrases describes our God as our Father. He loved us. And he loved us with an everlasting love. He loves us with a love that will continue to go on, a deep love. He hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. You know, we talked a little bit about Abraham's hope this morning, didn't we? And it wasn't so much a subject of hope as wishful thinking, but an object of hope, God's promises. And that's what we find here. God, out of nothing but his grace to us, out of his love for us, has given us hope, a good hope. He's given us hope that we can bank on. He's given us a home with him. He's given us a spiritual family. He's given us eternal life. And this is what will comfort our hearts and establish us in everything that we do for him. When we need comfort, where do we go? Do we go to our Father? I remember when I was young and I would get hurt, one of the first people I would think of and go to is my father. Even today, Braden has called me a couple of times, not major issues as he was driving, but just some things that he was curious about in the car, and it was the first person he called, me, because I was his father. And I know something about the car. I've been working on it a little bit. And so this is what God wants us to do. When we need that consolation, when we need that help, when we need that hope, we go to him. He comforts us. And then even sometimes he becomes the God and the Father who chastens us as his child. We're familiar with these verses in Hebrews 12, verses 5 through 7, when it says, "You have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons and daughters. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not?" I never really thought this when I got punished as a child. I never really thought, oh, good, this just shows I'm part of the family. But in a sense, that's what it means to be chastened of your parents, or your father. It means that you're theirs. I was never chastened, never spanked by my friend's parents. But I was spanked, and I was punished by my own parents. That was their prerogative. That was their responsibility. That was something that God gave them because of their responsibility as my parents. And so it is with God as Father. There are times that we need to be spanked. There are times that we need to be chastened. There are times that we need to be punished, not to exclude us from the family, but rather to show that we are part of that family and to improve us, to sanctify us, to make us more and more like His own Son. You see, when God adopts you into His own family, you can experience that kind of relationship and that kind of fellowship forever. You know, we all miss our fathers if they have passed from this world. And we think fondly of them. We think of those memories. We have those stories. We don't look forward to the day of their passing if they are with us. But the relationship that we have with the Heavenly Father is something that will last for eternity. And so, number three, what should our response be to this God who is our Father? What should our response be? Well, because of the kind of Father He is, there are several responses that we find in the Bible. First of all, we should always thank Him. We should always thank Him. I think that's one of the reasons why I thought it was feeling like Thanksgiving, because we were giving thanks in song to the Lord as our Father today, weren't we? We got to thank Him for being our Father. Colossians 3:17 says, "Whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks." To who? To God and the Father by Him. Are you thankful to God for being your Father? Have you thanked Him for choosing you, for calling you, for comforting you, even for chasing you as His son, as His daughter? Are you thankful that you belong to the family of God? Another response, we should always trust Him. We should always trust Him. Matthew 7:11 says, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him?" God is a good Father. And He provides what we need, and even more than we need. Are you trusting God as your Father and your provider? So often we worry because we forget this part of our relationship with God. One way to know if you are trusting Him is when you turn to Him as your Father. When you turn to Him. Whether it's a good time or a bad time. When you have a need or when you have plenty. You simply turn to Him and go to Him. We should always turn to Him. In Matthew 8:15, it reminds us that we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, "Abba, Father." I knew when my father was alive that I could turn to him at any time. Good times or bad times. I could just cry out, "Dad, Dad." And that's what God, as Father, wants from His children. He wants you to turn to Him and say, "Abba, Abba." Galatians 4:6 says it this way, "And because you are sons," and we can apply this to daughters, "God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." And so the greatest response that you can have toward God as your Father, not just to thank Him, trust Him, turn to Him, but especially we should always love Him. We should always love Him. Samuel Stone once wrote this, "None else we love for sweeter grace that made anew a ruined race. The heirs of life, the lords of death, with earliest voice and latest breath, when days begin, when days are done, bless we the Father for the Son." When you love God, when you trust God, when you thank God, when you turn to God as your Heavenly Father, you know what you're doing? You're honoring your Father, your Heavenly Father, according to the spirit of that fifth commandment. And so we learn that God is this kind of Father. And because He's a Father, He wants us to have that same kind of honor for our earthly parents. And we will get into that again next Sunday. Let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You again for the opportunity that we've had to reflect on fathers today, Lord, and especially You as our Heavenly Father.